It's Friday, and you know what that means? It means it's the day I say, due to my scheduling mess-ups, I don't have Filbert with me today. I'm doing this show live. Hopefully I'll have a show with him on Tuesday. Temporarily, you know, I've got some work. I do have a day job, and I've got some scheduling conflicts. It's made recording on Thursday nights out of the question this month, but I'm hoping to get it straightened out soon. If not next week, maybe the week after, but get it straightened out. And in the meantime, this is Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio, brought to you by CoCertified. It's the app for people who like to eat and know stuff. It's really good for that. If you eat and if you want to know stuff, get CoCertified. It's only $2.95. What else? How else? Or maybe it's $2.99. It's something like that. What better way is there to make sure that you know stuff about the food you eat than CoCertified? So I will be taking callers today, and that number is the same number I gave out yesterday. It is the number for republicbroadcasting.org. It starts with an 8, and then it has some other numbers after it. If I had a quicker internet connection, I would tell you. Well, here it is. 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. You know, I found something out. There's this big event going on over, you know, in Europe or somewhere. It's some festival. They're playing this game. They call it football, but you know, there's no quarterback. Nobody's passing the ball. No, you can't pick up the ball and run with it. So I mean, all they do is kick at it, and they have absolutely no control of what they're doing. Half the time, it bounces off people's heads. So the game makes absolutely no sense, but it is fun to watch because there's a lot of stuff going around, you know, outside the games. And in particular, there's this bear over there. The Russians have this bear, and this is going to sound strange, but go to, you know, davidduke.com. You'll see it. I just put this up on davidduke.com because davidduke.com is where you go for the most, you know, for insight into what's going on in the world. And you go to davidduke.com and you just look at the show description for today's show. Dr. Duke and Mark Collette, Trump's anti-immigration tirade in Europe. That's why Zai globalists hate him. That's why we support him. But you'll notice the picture, the featured picture. There's this bear and he's in the back of a Jeep, this huge bear. He's like twice as big as any of the people that are riding around with him, and he's playing the trumpet. And you know, it's a sign of what's going on. I mean, you think about what's going on in the world, and the Russians, they've got this bear over there, and he plays the trumpet. Apparently Vladimir Putin personally trained him to do it. You know, Barack Obama, if you remember that guy, he said not much goes on in Russia without Vladimir Putin. So obviously it was Putin. We know he likes wildlife. He rides horses and trains tigers and whatnot. But he taught this bear how to play the trumpet. And apparently this bear is also like the head of the, you know, this Russian soccer association. And go to the article. You'll see there's a picture of him. He's officiating a game. He's, you know, he's giving out the instructions to the two coaches. And then apparently they're not really very good at playing the game. Their claws tend to puncture the balls, but they're, you know, bears are good administrators. And this bear, Tim, then there's another picture, and he's riding around in the back of this Jeep, and they took the trumpet away from him, and he started doing the canel, which is this, what Jews call it. They think it's anti-Semitic. They say it's an inverted Nazi salute. And, you know, word has it that this bear invented this. He's racist, and he invented this salute. And it got picked up on by this French comedian, this half-black French comedian who's picked it up and run with it. But what's, you know, really interesting, of course, I thought, okay, an inverted salute where your arm is kind of down, maybe the bear's shoulder doesn't have a full range of motion. But actually, you can go to this video. This video, I recommend everybody do this because it's fun. you go to the video, it's from one of these British, I guess from the Daily Mail. It's from the Daily Mail. And they show the bear, and he's riding a motorcycle. Well, he's on the sidecar of a motorcycle. And no, he's actually given the full Nazi salute there. So anyway, before I've got William on the line. I'm going to go to him in just a second. But this is the thing. So we had a Cold War with Russia, the Soviet Union, 50 years ago, and you know it was an intense rivalry, and it culminated in this race to put a man on the moon, which we won because you know we were better. This new Cold War. Okay, so the Russians have their wildlife playing jazz and throwing Sig Heils left and right, and meanwhile, we're turning our coffee shops into homeless shelters staffed by trannies. So I don't see how this can end well. Well, William, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much. Are you familiar with Tim?
Oh, yeah. And I actually have his little video here every once in a while. I just put it on, you know. I like seeing bears. We have bears up here in Montana.
Oh, yeah. Similar bears, the brown bear, the grizzly bear, they're related, right? Very close, basically
yeah,
the same.
Yeah, species. I mean, there's you know, when you get into bears, you know, there's just like everything else, specificity goes wild depending upon your attraction to them. So, mm-hmm. you know, we've got black bears, we've got grizzly bears, and we've got a lot of wildlife here. And so I always like, you know, I thought it was great. And, you know, some people see Nazis everywhere. You know, I just saw him being a great, fun thing, you know, to sort of accent, you know, the Russians' real public relations victory with this whole World Cup. I mean, there were many, many announcements that have come out from various people, even the English have come out and said, you know, this thing didn't turn out to be, we thought there was going to be these hooligans, you know, were going to meet us all at the airport and beat us to a pulp, and it turns out the food is great, and even, they said, even the guards, you know, the border guards and the police smile. You know, border guards don't smile anywhere in the world. And here were the border guards, you know, at the Moscow airports and various airports saying, welcome to Russia. Well, and smiling at us.
I can tell you a story about a Soviet Russian border guard smiling at me. I was mentioning yesterday that I brought blue jeans and electronic calculators to Russia with me because I wanted to meet up with, I wasn't trying to make money, I just wanted to use them to meet up with black market people because I thought it would be interesting. And I mentioned I also had brought in some girly pictures with me.
Oh, wow. You had all the bases covered.
When I was pulling out my passport, they all fell out of the pocket. And, you know, they were just, it wasn't pornography or anything, it was just, I'd gotten them from, entered Siberia through an airport in Japan, and the Japanese phone booths, they used to put these girly pictures in them, and I guess you could call, and they were for bars or something, but the guy just laughed when he saw them, and I said, do I have to give them to you? And he said, no, you can keep them, so that was okay. But anyway, please go on.
Well, I just sort of, you know, you know, there was fallout from, you know, after Trump got on the plane and flew off to the riots and massive protest in England. There were people that came out and sort of talked about, you know, what happened? You know, what did he do to us? What was going to be the fallout? And, of course, a lot of people came to the fore, and I thought it was interesting that here I am looking through all these things, and you remember Herbert McMaster? You know, he's now Herbert McMaster.
Is he Herbert now?
Yeah.
What was H.R. McMaster before, right?
Yeah, H.R. McMaster.
H.R.
Former National Security Advisor.
Yeah.
And he came out and said, the president thinks he can be friends with Putin. I don't know why. Or why would he want to be?
Because he can train bears how to play the trumpet.
Yeah. Yeah, he could come here. So anyway, yeah. I mean, I thought, and then, you know, the Washington Post came out and said, it's terrible how Trump went over there and treated his European allies in a very corrosive manner. But if you look, his approach to Putin is very conciliatory, even though the U.S. administration, has imposed sanctions on Moscow, and the Russian diplomats are in solidarity with the European partners. They're talking about the European partners are saying, you got to remember the Skripal case. Why did he completely forget about that? And so it was just very interesting.
Because it was a hoax?
Yeah, a hoax. And then, it's basically saying, we're still worried about this meeting next Monday. This could change the whole thing, and there's a lot of speculation as to, what's going to happen. I mean, the NATO said, this is dangerous. I mean, we weren't involved in setting up this Helsinki thing. This is unscripted, and this is going to be, this isn't the way we do things. We didn't even know about this, and he's sort of going off on his own. And what happens if he and Putin, find some type of meeting ground? This could be more dangerous to NATO than anything. Because the whole basis for NATO's existence is the fact that there's this existential threat that's just about ready to pour over the borders and attack Europe. And, if they start, and then there's a lot of different people that have said, he's the baby, infant baby, and Putin is the big bear, and that's not going to work out well, because Putin's going to take advantage of Trump's inexperience and lack of knowledge of international and historical perspectives, and it's going to be a massacre.
And who's saying this? Is it, you're just like specific? Like, is it somebody in specific, or you're just kind of?
You can go down the list, and the Washington Post was talking about this, and they were saying that it's important for Trump to know that this Crimea thing can't go back on it. It was an annexation, it was an incursion, it was a violation of European sovereignty. And they're saying he's ready to say, hey, let's just let this, be water under the bridge, that new bridge that they built.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, and again, this is very telling, because everybody sees this as a potential danger, because if peace breaks out. This is billions and billions and billions of dollars that could be lost by various military contractors and by the European countries themselves. There's even talk of what happens if he pulls out his troops from Germany. Actually, there's I think 50%, some surveys that came out in Germany said 50% of the Germans wish he would, pull the troops out now.
Yeah. Well, why not? I mean, the troops are, I don't mean to be rude or disrespectful, but I've been over to those bases, and You know, at best, the bases, I don't know, my connection there, he was an officer, and he would set up, you know, cultural exchanges and stuff like that. It was kind of silly stuff, but, you know, if you go to some of the towns that are around the bases, of course, there aren't nearly as many personnel there as there used to be, but, you know, there's the troops are frequenting houses of ill repute and whatnot. It's never nice, even in our own country. Often the areas around military bases are a little bit, you know, on the rough side. And of course, it's going to happen because military is mostly going to be young men. And if you all of a sudden take a geographic area and throw it out of balance in terms of the, you know, the young men versus young women ratio, it's going to be trouble, especially if you're introducing, you know, a group that is the outsider. So why wouldn't they, you know, want the bases gone? There's one thing I want to raise, and I know you're aware of it. After the end of the last Cold War and the Soviet Union dissolved itself, Yugoslavia wound up dissolving itself in civil war, and Czechoslovakia broke up. All of these broke up along the lines of their internal republican borders. All three of these countries, all three of them were made up of republics. They had republics. They were unions of republics. And those internal borders, which often were very haphazardly drawn, Crimea is a good example of how haphazardly, those internal borders were respected. Those borders and those borders alone, and they all wound up breaking up exactly along those borders. And there, in some cases, you had, you know, second tier republics, autonomous republics, not union republics. And in, you know, the case of the Soviet Union, Georgia had these autonomous regions or autonomous republics, Abkhazia and South Ossetia, which did not want to be part of the independent Georgia. And so for, you know, the past 28 years or whatever it's been, they've been effectively Russian protectorates, but they've never, you know, they never formally joined Russia. There's just kind of this weird status quo that's gone on. And, you know, these borders were respected. Who was the first, I mean, when was the first time that those borders were not respected? What broke that? That was Kosovo, right? Kosovo was an internal province or an internal autonomous province or autonomous region of Serbia. And that, when the NATO war and then the later NATO sponsored Declaration of Independence for Kosovo, turning it into an independent republic and ceasing the Serbian sovereignty over it. That was the, you know, the first example. That was the, what do you call it? The, in a court, the precedent. That was the precedent for disregarding those borders. And Vladimir Putin and the Russians always point to that when they're accused of having seized Crimea. Speak with me, William, if you can, and we'll be back. Great.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Show National People Radio with Patrick Slattery and William from Montana. And so just to summarize, when I opened up my 1965 era Hammond Atlas or looked on a National Geographic map, you could see all of the borders for Croatia and Lithuania. You saw all the borders. The only thing was that Lithuania and Russia and Kazakhstan were all colored the same pink, but you could still see the borders. The only difference is the lines haven't changed, just the colors on the map changed. But that, you could no longer say that once Kosovo was ripped away from Serbia. I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, that whole period, when Gorbachev started loosening the control, and saying that, we should have discussions. We should have places where these different republics can have a little bit of local autonomy, because they know their regions. Like one of the things that Gorbachev, was trying to deal with was that this whole centralized government process that had control over these far-flung, republics was really ripe for corruption, because he was hoping that by, having a little bit more of a distributed government, some of these local problems could be addressed better by people who actually live in the situation and know its history, blah, blah, blah. And what happened was that many of these places, like Kosovo, and they were clobbered together and made into a whole, but there was a lot of factions within these areas, within these geographical areas, and a lot of different religions, a lot of different ethnic groups. And as soon as this possibility of being able to have a type of independence it didn't just stop at these sort of governmental bodies. It went right on down to all of these factions within these republics, and they all started, you know, trying to find some way to gain a type of independence at the local level. Mm-hmm. And this created a flashpoint in many places, not just Kosovo, but in other places. Like in the, you know, the Balkans and
Balkans, the Transdniester Baltic region of between Ukraine and Moldavia. I guess was that a region of Moldavia, but it bordered on the Ukraine, and it was ethnic Russian, and they had a civil war there. Nagorno-Karabakh between Armenia and Azerbaijan, and I think the idea was, okay, these internal union republican lines that we have may not be that great, but if we start rewriting the lines, there's going to be no end.
Yeah, and Gorbachev, who was all for this, said, now, wait a minute. You know, I want to tell you that this type of rebellion at this local level, we're not going to allow this to fracture. And it will be suppressed. You know, he warned people that this was taking it too far. They misunderstood him. And there was a lot of repression. And that caused people to say, I don't think these Russians are serious about easing tension, you know, because there were places in Lithuania and other places where there was outright battles and bloodshed. That's something that those conflicts, that period was very chaotic and enormously dangerous.
1990-91, right? 1990-91.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize how touch and go it was. I mean, that breakup was a total endangerment of world, you know, safety. And
yeah,
it's amazing that it actually,
that
more things didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had intercontinental missiles that were not just in Russia, but in Ukraine, I believe Belarus and Kazakhstan. And you had tactical nuclear weapons that I don't even think people knew where they all were.
Many of these places, you know, even the people, the Russian soldiers that were, the Soviet soldiers that were guarding these places, they didn't even have full communication as to, you know, what are we doing? Who's in charge? What do we do? They were trying to figure out how to get a meal on the table. So, I mean, that whole period, and then, you know, the dissolution of the Soviet Union, when that actually happened, most of these countries had already succeeded. You know, Russia had, you know, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, Slovakia. I mean, many of these republics had already, you know, they saw the writing on the wall, and they decided the best thing for them to do is have their own parliament. There was a thing called the War of Laws.
And we're coming up on our break, but can you hang around and maybe take a call or two?
Sure.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Radio with Patrick Slattery and William from Montana. And you mentioned events in Lithuania. And I remember it was January 1991, and the Lithuanians had several months earlier declared independence. But of course, it was a pretty empty gesture at the time. I went to Lithuania in September of 91, which was actually like a few days after Gorbachev had actually recognized their declaration of independence. And of course, it didn't seem any different from anywhere else in the Soviet Union. It seemed almost like a joke at the time. I'd booking my reservations through Intours, the Soviet travel agency, and everything was Soviet. But in January, you had these demonstrations. You wound up having over a dozen people killed and maybe hundreds injured in a few days of demonstrations. And at the end of it, Gorbachev denied that anyone in Moscow had ordered the violent crackdown. It was very significant, but what's your recollection of that? And do you believe Gorbachev when he said that nobody in Moscow had ordered it? Maybe somebody.
Well,
else.
I mean, in all of these republics, especially in the larger cities, there was a dominant Russian population. I mean, this was a big, especially in Lithuania. I mean, there were these garrisons in the larger cities, and they did have Soviet troops, and they did have other troops that were aligned with the Soviet Union. And these, things got out of hand. I told you that even if there was an open conflict, there was this thing called the War of Laws, because as soon as this loosening started, these different republics exacerbated the condition, the dire conditions in the Soviet Union, by saying, we don't really need to pay our taxes.
And you know, that was a big deal. Because
and it was like, you know, we need to start using this money locally.
Right? The republics were used as the tax collectors, and the union government wasn't involved in the collection of most taxes. Do I have that right?
Yeah, so for the most part. And so they started saying, where's this money going? And then there was this whole, the various republics started saying, why am I picking up the tab? We have more industry here. We're doing better. We have more industrious people. And they were saying, this is all going into this kitty, and then it's being spent all over Russia, or all over the Soviet Union. And so there was a real rebellion, the war of laws. All these republics passed local laws, and that's when, and what they, one of the things that they did was, we're not paying taxes anymore to the Soviet Union. And this is where Gorbachev came back and said, that's going too far. And there were conflicts, and who knows? Maybe it's a little bit of both. Maybe he didn't want the violence to escalate to where people were actually killed, but he did want to have a show of force to say, you're going too fast, and all I want to do is open up, you know, this perestroika. You know, we want to have more openness, but we don't want to relinquish control. And this happened all over. I mean, in some of the other republics, especially some of the ones that were mostly Muslim in South Central Soviet Union, they even went farther and said, hey, guess what? We're keeping our oil. We're not going to let you come in here and take this oil as if it belongs to you. And so this was happening everywhere, and many of these conflicts, you know, really was the thing that brought down, if you were talking about who won, you know, who won the war, or who won the Cold War, it wasn't that the outside had come in and beat them, but there was a very process of disintegration and disengagement and succeeding from the Soviet Union once these people started rebelling against this, you know, basically Russian presence. And I say Russian, whenever I say Russian, I really mean Bolshevik, you know, because many of these commissars and controllers didn't have the Russian interest at heart, but they had at heart the control from this centralized, you know, area, mostly in, you know, St. Petersburg, Moscow, and they wanted to retain this. And Gorbachev, I think, you know, realized that this was a problem, and he tried loosening the screws, and as soon as he did that, there was basically open revolt everywhere as people tried to reassert, you know, what their condition was before they were absorbed by the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got some questions, but first, let's go to Laura from Michigan. She's been waiting. Laura, welcome to the show. Are you there, Laura?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you okay. What's on your mind, Laura?
I wanted to run a future scenario that I think is going to happen. Because the Zionists are won't let go of any control and will continue to drain the economies of Europe. I think they are going to drop NATO, and I think there's going to a coalition of European countries are going to get together along with Germany once they get rid of Merkel and Russia, and I think that they're going to go after Israel. They know who the Zionists and what they're doing, and they're going to run out war from a platform from the Republic of Georgia, and I think they're going to Saudi Arabia and Israel, and I think
for clarification, what did you say about Georgia, the former Soviet Republic of Georgia?
I think that's where they're going to run the war platform from Georgia. So let me keep going.
Okay.
So anyway, they're going to pick up Turkey, possibly Lebanon, Syria, and Iran. and go after Israel. And then what's going to happen is the United States are going to think they have to protect their best friend, ally, Israel. That's how they get the United States into the war. I just wanted to run this scenario. I've been thinking about this, how this is going to look. I just really think that's what's going to happen.
All right.
I'll take your comment.
Thank you. So, William, what do you think? And she mentioned Georgia. And, of course, Georgia, a dozen years ago or so, I guess 10 years ago during the Olympics, they had that president who then ran off to Ukraine, and he was the Ukrainian a governor of a province. What was his name? Slipped my mind.
I forget what it is. Begins with an F.
Yeah, he's like he was a protege of John McCain and very pro-Israel, but he's gone now. Is Georgia still knocking on NATO's door trying to get in and all chummy with Saakashvili is who we were thinking, right?
Saakashvili, yeah.
Yeah, and are they still chummy with Israel and trying to get into NATO? And, you know, what do you think of this scenario that Laura was brought up?
Well, I have a feeling that NATO is going to persist, or it's not going to, go away. I also think that there's going to be this thing that's going to happen on Monday is going to change a lot of things potentially. If there is, let's say in terms of Syria. A big flashpoint between Israel and potentially other countries is, especially as it relates to Iran, is this sort of Golan Heights situation. And if there can be a lessening of tensions in that area, and this is something that's definitely going to be on the discussion, because both Russia and Trump want to get out of Syria. You know, they want to have some type of resolution. They don't want to become, neither one wants to become policing that area because, in a sense, it's a local area of conflict, and they want to keep this thing from blowing up. Mm-hmm. That'll definitely be on the agenda. And the other thing that's going to be on the agenda is this whole Ukrainian thing. That's going to be on the agenda. And in Russia, it's interesting that many people say, the little Georgia uprising, they think of that as another type of what happened in the Ukraine. This wasn't just a bunch of Georgians deciding that they were going to rise up. That if you look at all of the machinations that were going on behind that, they really saw this as something that was coming out of the United States intelligence agency saying, what happens if we can throw a lot of these republics into chaos and start surrounding this federation, Russian Federation, and put a stranglehold on them, cut them now, off.
And Mikhail Saakashvili, who was the president 10 years ago, very problematic president, he did come to power in that so-called Rose Revolution, one of these color revolutions that everybody accredits to George Soros. I'm sure all sorts of shadowy figures were involved, and very likely the CIA, that overthrew Gorbachev's one-time ally, Edward Shevardnadze, who had been the Soviet foreign minister and then wound up parachuting to president of Georgia after their initial leader, Gamsakhordia, who was very staunchly nationalist. I don't know a whole lot about him, but we have Jeremy on the phone, so let's bring Jeremy into the discussion. Jeremy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, William and Dr. Slattery. I was listening to you guys, but I lost a few minutes at the bottom of the first 30 minutes because I'm working for this boomer, and he had to turn on his 12 o'clock news. You know, they're all about my 12 o'clock news.
Hey, we're boomer friendly here.
Yeah, and you guys don't count as boomers, okay? But let me get my point out, because we're limited on time. I was a young man in 99, 98. I was in the Air Force. I remember the Kosovo thing, but, you know, I've got to go back in retrospect and read it, because I was all about my partying and my beer back then. So Kosovo seemed to play a significant role in deteriorating the relations with Russia. And I know that in the aftermath of Kosovo, Russia basically occupied this airport. And I'm driving, I think it was Pristina, right? I was just wondering if you and William could comment on the significance of Kosovo, because it seems like during the 90s, as the Soviet Union had dissolved, that the U.S. came in and started taking advantage of that. And, you know, now in the 21st century, Putin is almost trying to put Russia back together. I mean, almost kind of similar to, you know, National Socialist Germany trying to put Germany back together. I know a lot of our people have made that comparison. What is the significance of Kosovo today as it related to back then?
Well, I'll kick it over to William in just a second, but of course, Serbia and Russia were long time, you know, they have a long relationship, and the Serbians are Orthodox Christians, as are the Russians. They're both Slavs, and so and Serbia, Kosovo had been a province of Serbia, I guess, maybe it was technically an autonomous republic at the end, but it was part of Serbia. It was, and it was an area that had once, it had been the ancestral homeland, it's the Alamo or something of the, or the Plymouth Rock of the Serbian people. They date their nationhood back to some 13th century battle that took place in Serbia, and they've basically been ethnically cleansed out of it. But getting to your question, William, what do you think? The significance of Kosovo in U.S.-Russian relations?
Well, I think that, you know, I remember, you know, that YouTube that you guys did with George of Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked the question, you said, you know, what's going to happen when we try to, when the Federation of Russia tries to maintain control or integration of these Turkic or Muslim, you know, provinces or republics. And I thought George from Greece made a very perceptive, comment about that in answering that question. And he said, you know, if you actually go to Russia and you go to these churches during Christmas or Easter, you will see a predominantly Slavic, people there, you know, and so in Western Federation of Russia, there is this Serb, connection, and there's also this Christian connection. And one of the things that happened in Kosovo and Serbia was that after this sort of top-down management of the Soviet Union was released, these factions that pretty much divided among religious, you know, lines came to the fore. And so I think that what happened was that this was a natural thing. I will get into this in the future. I mean, Dugin talks very much to this question, and it will answer the question of is Putin getting ready to create another expansion and try to reclaim all of these provinces. And I would say that that Putin, I believe, is very pragmatic. He understands this, and he is trying to promote something where there is a confederation that allows these local religious groups, these ethnic groups, to have a degree of autonomy. He doesn't want to have a top-down management of everything because he learned his lesson.
We're going to the break, but if you'd both like to stay on, please do, and we'll be back after the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network.
Musically, that is the smooth sounds of Filbert Applebag. And so, Jeremy, you heard what William had to say. I bet you have a follow-up.
Well, I might save it because I got to tell you, William, I'm a pretty high IQ individual. I'm well over 125 or 130. And it takes me a minute or two to unpack your answers in my head. That's a compliment to you, by the way. But I understand exactly what you're saying. I want to leave you with this before we run out of time. I host for Fair and Show Off on the alternative media on Saturday mornings. On occasion, I've guest hosted once. I'm going to guest host tomorrow and interview Father Francis. And on the occasions that I host, I would love to interview you and then Dr. Slattery as well sometime separately. If you would be interested in that, leave Dr. Slattery with a way that I can contact you somehow. He can text me if you want to do that in some future date. I would love to interview you for like an hour on that Saturday morning show because you're a fascinating individual, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to make one comment that, you know, when we talk about these uprisings and things happening in these various republics, Kosovo, Ukraine, Georgia, you know, one of the things that you have, in order to understand this, you have to understand that there were stages of NATO's eastward expansion going on at these times. And so it's almost like if you see, you know, what NATO was doing, they precipitated many of these reactions because they were actively trying to go in and take over these republics and influence them and bring them in under the fold of NATO. And so whenever you look at these critical points, you know, what happened in Yugoslavia in 97 and how they were bombing Serbia in violation of this UN charter and this NATO associations and various rules and regulations, you find out that NATO, you know, actually was moving in with a multinational military contingent. And so this wasn't just like a local group of people saying we want to enforce our uniqueness and we want to have a place where we can be who we are. But there was also a very active component in NATO that was saying, you know, while we can, let's go in and start, you know, consistently going after one after the other and bring these people in the fold. And it's very interesting to see these critical 1990, 99, 2004, 2000, and see how many of these different places.
Yeah, and even last year, Montenegro, right, which was the closest republic.
That was the last one, 2017. But, you know, in 2009, Albania, Croatia, 2004, Bulgaria, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, Slovakia, Slovenia, and then Estonia. And as these people, as these various countries were absorbed by NATO, this caused a rethinking in the Federation of Russia about, you know, where do you stop this, you know? And then, you know, when it came to Ukraine and Crimea, that was a real turning point.
Yeah, got to stop it. Well, we are out of time, but thank you both for being on, and thank Laura earlier. And the big summit is going to be on Monday. I'm sure on Monday and Tuesday we're going to have plenty to talk about. We will have some very exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio. See you next week.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.